All right, let's go ahead and continue on with the account of Jesus in Samaria. And so we are going through John chapter 4 and picking up in verse 7. A woman from Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone into the city to buy food. And so we see here at the beginning of this account that it's Jesus who is initiating the interaction with this woman. So she comes to the well where he was sitting down because he was weary from the walk, like we had talked about yesterday. And she then is coming out to draw water. And she comes out and Jesus is the one who says to her, "Give me a drink." And then there's this little note there, and it's in parentheses in our Bible, and it says that his disciples had gone into the city to buy some food. So it was just Jesus. You can kind of assume that he's alone there with the woman, and that he's the one who reaches out and starts this conversation with her. And that's why it's a little weird. Then she says in verse 9, it says, "The Samaritan woman said to him, 'How is it that you, a Jew, asks for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans.'" And so she's surprised that he's not just going to ignore her while she's there, because there's that tension that we talked about between the Samaritans and the Jews, and that they didn't get along, and that the Jews saw the Samaritans as unclean. And so if Jesus were to drink the water from her pitcher or to share her water with her, he would be making himself unclean in the eyes of the Jews. And we know that Jesus was never unclean. Jesus was never sinning. And so he was never breaking the law. But there's that distinction between the Jew and the Gentiles, and then the Samaritans in that middle spot between those two. And so it's surprising to the woman that Jesus would reach out and ask her for this water. And then Jesus answers her here in verse 10. And Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." And so Jesus does what Jesus does and flips this story and this interaction around. It's very similar to what was happening with Nicodemus. And we'll see as we work through this account where he asks her for water. And she says, "Why are you asking me for water?" And he says, "If you knew who I was, who was asking you for water, and what gift I could give you from God, you would be asking me for this water." And he says, "If you knew the gift of God." And so we know that all good things come from God. And this gift is his very best gift. It is this living water. And if we jump to chapter 7 of John, we got chapter 7, verse 37 through 39. We get a little more on Jesus talking again about some living water. "On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.' Now, this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him would receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." And so we see here that out of him would flow rivers of living waters. And Jesus said this about the Spirit. So he's referring to the Holy Spirit as this living water, and that it would become rivers flowing out of those who would believe. And then it says that those who would believe hadn't yet received the Spirit that it was because Jesus hadn't been glorified yet. And we know that through reading the end of the Gospels and then into Acts, there's the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit then is given to all the believers. And then we can see through Acts and now all through the last bit of history, the Holy Spirit coming to those who would believe. And that this is that living water, that great gift from God that's given by God. It's not something that this woman could reach out and grab. It's not something that she could dig down and dig the well and pull out, but it is something only from God. And it's wonderful because now it is that living water, and you're no longer tied to the temple to come to God. You're no longer tied to the, once we know after Jesus dies and is risen again, we're no longer tied to the sacrificial system. And we have the indwelling Holy Spirit in us. Now, the woman does not understand this at all. And we can't blame her for that in this interaction. It's just like with Nicodemus, he didn't understand being born again. And so verse 11 says, the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and livestock. And so it's this literal interpretation. Where are you going to get this water? How can you get it? You don't have anything to draw it from. This well I drink from all the time, and it's not living water. And Jacob gave it to us. Are you greater than Jacob? Well, yes, Jesus is greater than Jacob, so much more greater than him. But you see that Jesus is very gracious, and he's not jumping out and scaring her, proclaiming, yes, yes, I am the one who was promised the Messiah. And he's working things in his own time with great patience and his own plan for bringing redemption to both the Jew and the Gentile. And we'll see here how he brings her into the understanding of who Jesus actually is later. And so she asks, are you greater? Where does this water come from? And verse 13, Jesus says to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But anyone who drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may never be thirsty or have to come and draw water. And so it's this, you'll never be thirsty when you drink this water that Jesus is giving. And not just because you're drinking it, but because it wells up into a spring of eternal life. And so it goes from being a sip of water to a spring of water that is flowing from the inside. And that's where in chapter 7 it talks about out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And so the Spirit inside of you is just so overwhelming, it takes over you. We know that when you have the Spirit, you have the old man has died, and you now are a new man, a new man in the Spirit. And you are leaving the way of the flesh behind, and you are growing in the way of the Spirit. You leave the fruits of the flesh and grow in the fruits of the Spirit. And this is that process of sanctification where you are being called to leave behind sin and guilt and all the things of the world and all of our sinful desires. You are being called out of that and growing in your righteousness here on this earth. Not that we'll ever become fully and perfectly pure here while we are living in this body, but we are knowing we are moving in that direction. And then on the final day of glorification, we will be fully glorified, fully righteous, declared so by God, not by anything that we did, but because of the work of Christ, his body, his blood, and the work of the Holy Spirit in us, giving us that faith in Jesus. So it's not anything that we do. It's only through this water freely given to us by Jesus. And the woman gets confused still. She's like, "Sir, give me this water. Jesus, give me that water you're talking about. I don't like coming to the well and lowering the rope to dig up, to pull up the water and then carrying it back to my house. I don't want to have to keep doing that." So she's still thinking about physical and literal water. But here we see that Jesus is not talking about that. He's talking about that Holy Spirit. So let us today, as we go about our day, be reminded of the work of the Holy Spirit. Let us praise God for His Spirit, and that we have that Spirit living in us if we are redeemed people, and that we can rely on that Spirit to be this well and this river of living water pouring out of us. So let us be reminded of that. Let us turn from the ways of the flesh and turn to the ways of the Spirit as we grow more and more in alignment with Him and with these living waters. So let us praise God for that and turn to Him today.